listening to the Rainmaking Podcast. Hosted by high-stakes headhunter, author, and professional speaker, Scott Love.
This is the Rainmaking Podcast, and my name is Scott Love, your host. Thanks for joining me on the show. I'm really excited about this particular episode because I think it's going to offer a huge solution to you, as it has to me. I have a big problem with managing all my emails. So our guest today is Sarah Tetlow. Sarah is the CEO and founder of Firm Focus. She's an experienced productivity consultant, trainer, and speaker for attorneys and other busy professionals. And she knows what she's talking about. I like the way that she thinks, that she gives simple ideas that can offer an immediate impact in how you manage your productivity. Specifically, we're talking about how to be more productive by taming the email beast. Now, make sure you check out the show notes. You'll see her link to her sites, her blog, and some other resources that she has. Make sure you connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you got some great ideas from Sarah, please leave a nice 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and mention her by name. I know she'd appreciate that, as I would. And it always helps to give some recognition to some of these speakers and authors and experts that we've had on here. As always, if you know of other experts that you think could have something to offer to our show, please let me know. And this show is sponsored by Leopard Solutions, Legal Intelligence Suite of Products, Firmscape, and Leopard BI. Push ahead of the pack with the power of Leopard. And now, here's Sarah Tetlow. Hey, this is Scott Love. Thanks for joining me on the Rainmaking Podcast. We've got a good friend of mine, Sarah Tetlow, joining me. And today we're talking about how to be more productive by taming the email beast. Sarah, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me again, Scott. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
This is great. And I've seen you speak before, and I've had you on different versions of my podcast before, and I'm on your email list, and I learn something every time I read anything that you've written. And I like the fact that you specialize in productivity. And I like the topic title today because I'm swimming in emails. Help me out, Sarah. What are some recommendations you'd have for busy rainmakers and how they stay productive by taming that email beast?
Yeah. So a lot of professional services people have a habit of keeping email in their inbox.
Right.
And then they use tools that the engineers who created the software provide, such as flags, mark as unread, reminders, all of the tools that can basically take emails and say, oh, this one is really important. This one I need to do today. This one is something I really want to watch. This is something I really want to do. But they commingle the actions that they take, such as stuff that they're going to do today, stuff that they need to get to this week, stuff that they just want to remember is in their inbox. And they are contributing to decision fatigue, and they're not really organizing or prioritizing what's in their inbox, which creates overwhelm and it creates missed opportunities.
Right. Well, I think you diagnosed it correctly. What's the prescription?
So I'd like to start by kind of doing an analogy if I can. So what I like to compare our inbox to is, so those that have an inbox that have just emails sitting in there and then using things like unread and flags and reminders, mm-hmm. It's almost like a Jelly Belly variety pack. So if you picture a Jelly Belly variety pack, what we have is this big bag that is full of different flavors, different colors, some exciting to you, some not so exciting to you. Some flavors are really important. Other flavors you might give to somebody else.
Right.
So now imagine you are going in search of that favorite flavor, that favorite client or that prospect, and you dig through the top of the bag and you think you've captured all of those favorite flavors. And then as the bag gets lower, as you kind of move to that second favorite flavor or that third favorite flavor, you realize you missed some of the first favorite flavor. You have some coconuts that are buried a little bit deeper in that bag.
Right.
Or as you get lower in the bag, you might have some of that second favorite flavor or that third favorite flavor. Now imagine this bag just keeps filling up on you. That's what's happening with an inbox where people just keep all of their email in their inbox. And especially if that real estate on your screen is limited because you might have reading pane turned on or message preview turned on, which is taking up a lot of that master real estate. So I connect your human habits to the technology. Okay. So that you can reduce that Jelly Belly mix pack overwhelm that you're creating for yourself.
Well, Matt, you've got my attention because I don't want to accidentally eat the licorice when I'm really trying to go for the butter popcorn flavor.
Exactly. Are you a buttered popcorn fan?
I actually am a licorice fan. And that is a source of discussion within our home, but I have the monopoly on that. So whenever we come across those, I get all those.
Well, it's why you and I get along, because I also like the black licorice.
That's right. Yeah.
We digress a little bit there. Okay. So I gave the analogy of the Jelly Belly pack. So now you can visualize, oh my gosh, my inbox is a Jelly Belly pack. So I'm going to switch over and talk about a productivity philosophy. With anything we, and then I'm going to connect these together. So don't worry, we'll take you there.
Good. This is great. So
with anything we do, we have five options. It's called the 5 D's principle. We can do the action. We can delay an action. We can diminish it. We can delegate it, or we can delete it. So I'll say those one more time. Do, delay, diminish, delegate, or delete. Mm-hmm. So if we remember what the purpose of email is, the purpose of email is to communicate with people, right? And so when an email lands in our inbox, something is being communicated to you. You are the owner of that communication. So with the habits that I teach people, I really want people to have a touch once philosophy in many situations. And in some cases, you might have to touch twice.
And so what do you mean by that exactly? When you say touch once and touch twice, what does that mean?
Sure. So the 5 D's principle that I talked about, the do, the delay, the diminish, the delegate, and the delete. When we get an email, those are our choices of what to do with that email. Are you going to do something right now? Do you need to do something in the future? Do you need something back? Or are you not going to do anything, in which case you might delete it, or you just want to file that email away because there is no more action connected to it. So I created ART, which is action, reference, tracking, and trash. So an action email, which is every email that comes into your inbox, is one that you need to do something with. That's what I'm trying to get across, is when you get an email, if it's something that you can easily delete, then delete it right there. Don't wait till later. Just get it out of your inbox. If it's something that you want to keep, but there's no more action, so it was a thread that went back and forth, but there's nothing else you need to do on that particular thread because the communication is done. Maybe the client asked you for something, you sent it to them, they replied with thank you, and now you're done with that particular course of action. Right. But you want to keep that email so that you have that history that you communicated with the client and gave them what they asked for. So that's where you would then file that into a folder or a label so that you keep it organized, but not in your inbox.
Do you think people should file it at that time or later on? Or what do you think about that?
I recommend at that time, touch once philosophy. Okay. Unless, of course, if you are in the middle of doing some research or you're in the middle of preparing a client report or you're doing an audit or some sort of deep work and you happen to see that email, which that can take me off on an entirely different tangent about seeing that email while you're doing some focus work, but I'll caveat that for later. But if you happen to see that email and you just return back to what you're doing, then later when you, for lack of a better word, when you're triaging your inbox, at that point you would file it away.
Great. Okay, good. Okay.
So then that leaves the rest of the action. So I talked about when there is no action. I talked about when you would delete it, which is trash, the last T of my ART system. And then what you have in the middle of that are all the stuff that you have to do with the correspondence, with the email, but you can't do it right now, or there's nothing to do right now, but there will be something to do. So what I mean by that is a delay is something that you can't do now or won't do now. And that's in my ART system, I call that reference actionable. Why? Well, because it's something that you need to reference that communication in the future. You have an action you need to do in the future. And so examples of those communications might be something like email that is a confirming registration for a conference. It might be airline ticket or hotel stay. Mm-hmm. It could also be you are doing great business development and networking, you reach out to a prospect, they reply to you and they say, can you give me a call Friday at noon? Or they might say, I'm not interested right now, but can you reach back out to me in a month? that's an example where you have something you need to do, but you can't do it right now. It's something you're going to do in the future. And so by using techniques like mark as unread or flagging it, you're probably also flagging or marking as unread the stuff that is crucial that you have to do today, or the stuff that's low priority, but you don't want to forget about it.
Right.
And so with the art system, with starting to recognize those habits of, gosh, these are my options of what I do, the reference actionable emails, the emails that are something you're going to do in the future, we want them out of your inbox, but we don't want to lose sight of them.
Right. And then what do we do? What do we do with them?
Yeah. Let me talk about tracking real quick, and then I'll tell you what to do with those ones.
Great.
Tracking is what I call delegate. Now, delegate, we normally think of in terms of I gave something out, like an assignment, and then I'm going to need something back to unlock bottlenecks. But with email, what it really is we give out an assignment, but we also give out a question to a client, a request that they sign something, a request that they deliver us back some documents, an invoice to the client to pay. These are all examples of emails that we might send out, and we need something back to unlock bottlenecks. So we don't want to lose sight of those emails, but there's nothing more for us to do at this point in time. So that's why I call that tracking, because we want to track those emails. And if your listeners already are in the habit of CCing or BCCing themselves, that's likely their way of tracking that message so that, you know, here's an invoice, will you please pay that? They CC themselves, it comes back into their inbox, and then they just leave it there with the other jelly bellies.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So now that I've kind of talked about art, which again is action, reference, tracking, and trash, and the easy buttons are those deletes, that trash, and the file away. There's no more action. And then every email to hit your inbox is an action email, because I want you to do something with it. I want you to think, what is it I need to do with this email? Can I delete it? Can I file it away? What's left are your tracking, your I need to do something in the future, a big project that was communicated to you, which is that diminish, right? Mm-hmm. Break down a project. What do I do with these emails, Sarah? How do I keep track of all of these without leaving my jelly bellies in my inbox?
Right.
So that's where I recommend using your folders or labels to create an active workflow through action folders. So if you visualize your folders or labels on the left side of your screen,
right?
What I recommend is having no more than a dozen, but having a dozen or so folders that are numbered. So for example, 01-Client Smith.
Okay.
He is a big collaborator, or I have a deliverable coming up March 15th for this client, and I want to batch the communication for that client together of anything, any projects I need to do, anything I'm tracking, anything that I need to reference in time going forward.
And let me ask you, why should we number these folders? Let me ask you about that.
Yeah, excellent question. So there's two reasons I recommend numbering them. One is it creates a prioritization. So when I say number them, you might have three or four O1s. Those are your clients usually. Then your O2s might be some administrative stuff that you need to keep your finger on the pulse. But of course, it may be less of an urgency to your client deliverable or your prospects. And then your O3s might be like if you are part of an association or an organization and you want to put communication into those for things that you, I do want to read this, I'm interested in this, or it's important to me, but it's my third favorite Jelly Belly flavor. And so I'm going to move it down a little bit in my organization and my priority list, but I still want to keep my finger on the pulse and know that it's there.
Right.
So for example, like the Rainmaker podcast, this is important for you to listen to. And Scott, I love you, but I would put you as an O2 and not as an O1, only because my clients
I'm okay.
Are screaming for it. You are still a favorite flavor of mine.
Right.
So I would put O2 Rainmaker podcast, and then I would put the episode in there that I want to listen to, and then I can batch listen to it when I'm on a walk. But rather than keeping it in my inbox where I'm working too hard to try to sort out my flavors that are sitting in my inbox.
This is great. And so let me ask you then, let's say with the O1, that's where we have all of our clients. Do we have, let's say we've got 12 clients. Do we have a folder for each of those clients underneath the O1 category? Is that how we would set that up?
Yeah, another great question. And I realize I don't think I said the second reason I number them, which is a simple answer, to keep them at the top. Keep your active workflow at the top. I think of them like sticky notes. So you might create a sticky note folder, 01, client Smith, because again, that deliverable is next week. And then when that deliverable is done, when you've finished that rapport or you've had that deposition, for example, for the lawyers that are listening, I might delete that sticky note. I don't need it anymore. And so if you had 12 clients, I do not recommend that you have 12 active folders because that's going to get unruly. And certainly some of your listeners are probably going, well, this is great, but I've got like 50 clients I'm managing at any given time. No, I do not recommend 50 action item folders. So this is where it does take a little bit of that subjectiveness to say, well, of the 12 clients I'm managing, these three or four are the ones that email me the most, or my team and I are emailing each other the most. And so therefore, we should probably have a separate folder for that particular project or client. Or this one is the one that's ongoing, and I just want to always keep it top of mind. Now, for the rest of them, assuming you have three or four action folders labeled for clients, then what do you do with the other eight? Well, in some cases, you just may not need an action folder at all. You might get an email once, twice a week from that particular client or relate it to that client. And some emails are going to still hang out in your inbox. But rather than it being 300, 900, 7,000, 31,000, I've seen a million in their inbox. Wow, I'm not kidding. Rather than it being that number, we might be talking about 10 to maybe 25, 30 emails in your inbox where you pretty much have a grasp of why it's sitting there. These are my straggler emails that are for these clients that I have a plan in place. I've communicated with these clients or with these prospects, and I'm okay with these couple of flavors hanging out because I'm going to enjoy them, sit down and eat them when I'm watching Netflix later. But I have a plan in place. So they're okay hanging out in the bag.
And tell me about diminish again, because you said that's when you're breaking down a project. How would we manage emails that we know we need to diminish? What do we do with those?
Yeah. So just to go back to art against the 5Ds real quick, action is do, reference actionable is delay, tracking is delegate, and trash is delete.
Right.
There is no direct correlation with diminish to my art system. And that is because I would be lying if I said you didn't get projects communicated over email. We always get projects communicated over email. But they shouldn't live in the email itself. The email itself should not be the trigger or the plan or the to-do list. So that really gets deeper into the productivity coaching I do if people don't have a really good plan in place or system in place to remind them of when to do projects and how to project manage.
Right.
So that being said, because again, we do get emails that communicate a project. And so, I mean, an example for your lawyer listeners might even be a client that emails them and says, I want to sue my business partner or something. That's obviously a project that now is right, living in an email, but it really needs to get out of the email and into your project management system. Now, the email itself could go into your active workflows to, again, keep it top of mind. But in some cases, if you have a really good, effective system of managing your projects and tasks and to-dos, then that email could get filed away in archive because the triggering action lives in your systems and not in your inbox.
Right. Well, Sarah, we've just scratched the surface and
yes,
I've been engaged the whole time taking notes. And I want to thank you for sharing these great ideas. It's, I think, the way you've set this up, and I really like the Jelly Belly analogy, is that it makes it more kinesthetic, more real. And I think you've given me and our listeners a way that we think about emails. Are there any tools that, do you think there's some sort of magic tool that you've helped people implement that's helped them to sort these? What are your suggestions in that regard?
Yeah. So obviously I'm talking about email, and there are a lot of sophisticated software out there that can help with making this easier. But at the end of the day, we are still a human being sitting down, opening up Outlook or Gmail, and we still have to manage our inbox. And to digress for a second, one of the questions I often get is, what is your opinion of having a virtual assistant, for example, manage my inbox? I am just so overwhelmed. I need someone else to do this. But unless you start here at these this foundational level that I'm talking about of knowing what your habits are and knowing what's important to you. What are the emails? Who are the collaborators that mean something to you? What are the digests that you're going to want to read, or the podcast you're going to want to listen to, or the newsletters you're going to want to read? And first recognizing in yourself what's important. So you have to lay these foundational roots before you can have someone else sort them for you.
Right.
So as far as tools go, and I have, art is built out for a course for both Outlook and Gmail. And the course covers deeply the ways that the automation within the software can help you. But Outlook and Gmail both have great tools to support what your habits are. So okay. Outlook, for example, we have rules. Most people are familiar with rules. And some people use them or have dabbled in them, and many have completely abandoned them. And I can tell you the reason.
This is new for me. Tell me about this.
Rules? Okay. Yes. So I'm going to start with why people abandon rules, because for anyone who has used them, they might go, oh my gosh, yes, that's exactly why. What happens is people get very excited. Let me just take a step back and explain rules for a moment, because I'm sensing maybe this is an area that you don't use very often.
I might be the only one. But anyways, share away.
Sure. So rules within Outlook are a way to basically say, Outlook, when this email comes into my inbox, here is what I want you to do with that email. Right. So you have to know ahead of time what you want the software to do with that particular correspondence based on who is the sender or what is in the subject or in the body of the message. Mm-hmm. So I'll repeat that for a moment. Rules, you have to know ahead of time when the email lands in your inbox, what do you want Outlook to do with it?
Right.
And then I'm going to come back to why it breaks in just a second, because since I'm on that topic, I want to stay there for just a second. Within Outlook, Quick Steps, which is one of the most underutilized features of Outlook and one of the most powerful, I use it every day. Quick Steps, you have control. So this is where you get the email in your inbox, but then you tell Outlook, with this email, here's what I want you to do with it. So while rules, I have to know every time I get an email from the Rainmaker podcast, I want Outlook to put that email in my O2-Rainmaker podcast action folder so that when I can batch my time and listen to it on my afternoon walk, it's ready and waiting for me. But that Jelly Belly flavor doesn't hit my Jelly Belly pack. It stays in its own flavor package on the side.
Got it.
So that's rules. And then Quick Steps says, well, I still want the email to come into my inbox, but then I can say, I get this email, I look at it because it's from the core, but it's just news of the day, or it's from an organization I belong to. I want to look at it, but then I always just file it in my archive folder. So Quick Steps lands in your inbox, you look at it, and then you tap the button and it moves where it needs to go, marks it as read. And if it's something, there's a lot of other features both rules and Quick Steps have, such as put it on my calendar, forward it to my assistant, print it for me, all of these really great features that you can do with automation. So I'm on a long tangent, but this rules. Why do rules break? Why do people abandon using rules? And by the way, Gmail rules are called filters. So when I'm talking about rules in Outlook, quite similarly, it's filters in Gmail. Why rules break is people get very excited and they say, oh my gosh, this is great. I have a folder for the Rainmaker podcast. And when it gets emailed to me, I want Outlook to put it in that folder, not an action folder, not an O2-Rainmaker podcast, which sits at the top and says, there's still something that you need to do on this, but your archival folder, it's down in the drawer. Mm-hmm. And then there's a number there in bold that there's 7 unread emails, but there's so many numbers in bold on the left-hand side of their screen and their dashboard that they miss it. So this is as if the Jelly Bellies are sorted, but they're sorted in the back of your Lazy Susan in your pantry. You're not going to see them. So that's why rules get broken, because you're commingling your filing cabinet with the things you need to do. Can I do one other analogy on this?
Absolutely. And then I want to kind of get to three action steps. So absolutely, that'd be great. Thank you.
Great. So one analogy, another analogy on this is, it's as if you think, for rules, it's as if you say, I am ready to get incredibly organized. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a file folder in my filing cabinet at home, and it is for my internet bill. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell the mailman when he comes, I want him to put my internet bill in my filing cabinet, in my internet folder. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to pay that bill, but it's organized for me. So you can see how it's a broken system. How do I know that that bill is filed away from me? So with rules, they are incredibly powerful, but they need to still be in a folder or marked somewhere where you still have control to prioritize and organize what's coming into your inbox.
Right. So how would you summarize everything? And you've done a great job taking what is a massive, complex challenge for a lot of people and distilled it in simple concepts that I really am genuinely excited about learning more, because I see the application for me, and I know our listeners are as well. So in terms of walking forward, what would be three action steps you'd recommend that our listeners take to get started on integrating and implementing some of these ideas, Sarah?
Yeah. So number one, just recognize your habits. How did this resonate with you? Can you envision yourself when an email comes in that it's something you're going to do? It's something you're going to do in the future. You just need something back. You don't need to do anything with that email, but you want to save it, or you don't need to do anything with that email and you want to delete it. So that's the first actionable step, which is not really an action, but more of just the idea of pay attention to what your habits are.
Great.
Then the second thing I'd recommend doing, besides starting to implement the easy buttons. So by implementing the easy buttons, what I mean by that are the ones that you can delete, just delete them. Don't let them linger in your inbox. Make that decision and get them out of the way. The ones that you can file down in your archival folders, get them down there. So if there is no more action on that particular thread, get it out of your inbox to mitigate that decision fatigue.
Great.
And then for what's left is the stuff that you clearly have an action that you need to do on those emails. And as more and more come in, and so that's where I'd recommend creating some action folders. So just start with what's staring you in the face, and you look at your inbox and you see that you have communications with this client or with this prospect. Maybe create that O1 sticky note. Mm-hmm. And then if you have an association or a digest that you want to read, maybe create that O2 or O3 sticky note. Try it. But remember, I'm calling them sticky notes because I want you to be comfortable taking them off and throwing them away if it doesn't work for you. You might have to test it a little and see what's going to work as a sticky note. If you create an O1 client folder and it has one email hanging out in there, then maybe you don't need a separate folder for that one client.
Right. Well, Sarah, these are fantastic ideas. And thank you for your generosity and really sharing action steps for all of us. Tell us about the offerings that you have. What are the things that you do, that you sell, that you would like our listeners to know about?
Sure. So through my parent company, Firm Focus, I have two offerings. I do coaching, one-on-one coaching, and that's really designed to help busy service professionals mm-hmm. control their workday, reduce stress and overwhelm, and be more organized and productive. And the second offering is speaking and training. Mm-hmm. And then I created the ART email productivity system, which is now a course. And that really is soup to nuts. That is taking a busy service professional who manages their own inbox, introducing this mindset in a much deeper understanding, and then helping build it through the modules, the entire system in your inbox that's customized for that individual.
That's great. And so we're going to put the links for all that on our show notes here. And we'll put your LinkedIn and email information as well, Sarah. So if there's a big law firm, let's say, that wants you to come in and do a retreat for their associates or partners, are those the types of things that you get involved doing?
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. Well, fantastic, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here on the show. I'm definitely going to have you back on here later this year talking about some more productivity tips. Thanks so much. Great job. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for listening to the Rainmaking Podcast.
For more information about our recruiting services for international law firms, visit our website at attorneysearchgroup.com. To inquire about having Scott speak at your next convention, conference, sales meeting, or executive retreat, visit therainmakingpodcast.com.